Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Rich Dotson, here with my fellow friend, fellow co-host, What else are you a fellow of?
Fellow nerd?
Yeah. That'll work. All right.
Fellow worker outer.
Okay.
We work out together.
Gym rat. So. Okay. Uh-huh. Little ratty over there. Matt O'Hara.
Hey, what's going on?
Just here. Just wrapped up our rookie draft.
Yes, we did.
Literally walked from outside.
Yeah.
Inside.
We told everyone, beat it. We have work to do.
I said, hey, does anybody want to be a guest on the pod to discuss your picks? And everybody's like, all right, Rich, we'll see you later. Right. I'm like, Bueller.
All right.
I was like, me and Matt, we're talking to thousands upon thousands of people if anybody wants to get their voice out. No?
No. And that place cleared out like a high school kegger when the cops show up.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, later. But listen, we're going to understand as we go over these draft results why some of these people got out of here in a hurry.
Yeah, exactly.
Shame. Ring the bell.
Shame.
Some of these guys, I don't even know if they, you know, some of these guys have been playing fantasy football in this league for 15 years, and basically, some of them still don't know what they're doing.
I think maybe the draft snuck up on him or something this year.
Maybe.
I'm not sure.
There's like a guy named Jim in our league. He was a founding member. He joined Special Service, Special Forces, sorry. You'd never know him by looking at Jim that he eventually landed in Special Forces, but he did. So he was touring the world with a gun, and then he came back to the league, and right now I feel like he's still somewhat out of the loop in the football world, but that's okay because we'll take his money either way.
Yes, right? We will.
So we just had a rookie draft. It's gonna be a good day for me today. You know, woke up, rookie draft, did a little bit of work. Actually, we get wrap this up and go out. I'm gonna go catch a limo bus. We're gonna go see Dave Matthews play and drink a lot of drinks.
Yes,
be a good day.
You are gonna have a good day.
I'm not gonna puke this week though.
Okay.
I'm not making any promises, but I'm not gonna puke.
Right.
So we're here on a Saturday. We're going to do this little pre-recorded and recover the nerds cap. And then we're going to do a little, Matt and I are going on vacation together because that's how close we are, people.
We are.
We are going to go to Virginia together.
Families are going. Yep.
And we're going to go take a week vacation together. So the following week's podcast is going to be a solo podcast for me because we have no time to get together from this point forward.
We don't. No, my wife, unfortunately, is going out of town.
Your schedule's so crazy.
Which leaves me with the kids leading up to the night before our vacation. Yeah.
Oh.
So wife's got a little out of town excursion for work and I get to hold down the fort, pack the car, get the kids ready, and basically she comes home and then we leave.
Oh, fun. Can't wait. We're gonna leave at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
We're gonna drive around.
Yeah. She gets home about 9 o'clock the night before.
Nice.
And we're gonna leave at 5 a.m.
Are you gonna consummate your marriage?
I've been there, done that. This is coming up on 10 years, my man. What do you think I've been?
So lucky. You're so lucky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every year for me, I'm like, are we going to consummate this marriage? And she's like, maybe next year.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh.
The kids were artificial insemination?
Oh, they're not mine yet.
Yeah.
They're way too cute to be my kids. But I'm a dynasty player, so I have good patience.
Very good.
You know?
Yeah, you're waiting for this one to really pan out.
So today we had our rookie draft. Like I said, some of these picks were really shocking to me. And we'll go through them, what we think. A lot of trades.
There's a lot of movement, a lot of trades. I didn't pick until I had to trade back into the second round because I traded away my first and second round picks last year. And I traded, I got two picks in the second round, and I feel like I got first round value out of both those picks. So I'm really pretty happy with my draft this year.
Yeah, I'm happy. I went into this draft with no picks in the first and second round because I traded first and second round picks last year to make sure I got Evan Ingram and Leonard Fournette.
Right.
And then this year, again, all I had to give up was my first next year and second next year for the 11th pick. And I was like, sure, buddy.
Yeah, you really.
Because the whole backstory of my league is I have Drew Brees, but I have Andy Dalton and Ryan Tannehill. So the whole time I'm trying to move up, I started trying to get a 2-3 range to get Baker Mayfield. And then there was a rumor that somebody was going to take Baker Mayfield in the first. So somebody offered me a first, which was too high to take Baker. So I was like, okay, when I ended up too high. Meanwhile, I could have got Baker later, as we'll see.
Sign
up at 11, and, you know, we always preach, take the best player on your board.
Right.
I trade up to 11 totally with thinking I'm coming out of this draft with Courtland Sutton. That's my guy. I could use a little receiver help. My starting receivers in that league are Stephon Diggs, Jarvis Landry, and Golden Tate. So not bad, but I could use some depth.
You could use there. A little bit for sure.
You know, because my depth is like Sterling Shepard, John Brown. Not overly fantastic. My running backs are Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette, and Le'Veon Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Studley, right?
Right.
Probably the best backs in the league.
I mean, you're up there.
What?
There's other up guys. There. There's other guys that have some pretty good running backs.
Not as good though.
David Johnson and Alvin Kamara. That's a pretty good combo.
Yeah. That's good, but not bad.
Okay.
So let's start off. So obviously, you know, the first pick in the draft went to Saquon Barkley.
Chuck, right. Yeah.
Second pick in the draft by Mike. Now, Mike, for example, here, he traded Julio Jones to come away with the whole first round.
He had, I think, four picks.
In the first.
In the first round, right.
So he had pick 12, pick 10.
He had pick four, but he moved it.
Yeah.
During the draft.
Not a good trade.
Or pick five, I'm sorry.
Pick five, too. Yeah.
So he had 2, 5, 10, and 12.
Yeah, so at 2, he takes Sony Michel.
Mm-hmm.
At 3, it went Rashad Penny.
Very quickly, too. These picks were just like instant, no thought. You know, I think these guys kind of knew.
4-2,
right.
Darius Geis.
Yep.
So almost exactly how our board went here.
Yeah, basically, yep. Mm-hmm.
So even though they don't listen, they listened.
They right. claim they don't listen, but I'm sure they do.
Yeah, well, Mike listens.
I know Mike listens. Yep.
The next pick was a trade. So Mike had number 5, and he traded that away for a second and O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard and the same pick in the second round, the fifth pick in the second round.
Which I thought was a terrible trade.
You know, O.J. Howard last year was a
top seven pick.
Obviously, his situation with Cameron Brate there is a little murky. At best, but he's a talented guy. He the guy that did it needed a tight end really badly. So, I mean, I can't really fault a guy that much for getting a pretty high second round pick and a starting tight end. Guy that he might be able to start. You know, I don't know this year, but maybe next year.
I just feel if that was your whole motive, like you went to tight end, you should have looked around the league and see who had tight ends that maybe you could have got a better proven tight end for that high of a pick.
I personally was trying to trade him. Jimmy Graham early in the off, he just didn't want him, and I only wanted like a second round pick for him. Okay. So he could have gotten a guy that's startable.
Yeah,
I for a much smaller price. I agree with that.
Trey Burton,
or no, maybe it was like one of his last picks in the. I think it was the first pick in the second round, or the second pick in the second round, is what I was trying to get for Jimmy Graham. But whatever.
So he makes a trade. Juan moves up here to 5.
Right.
He selects Ronald Jones. I threw up a little bit in my mouth. So there goes my non-throw up day a little bit.
Well, me personally, I was happy because I had Ronald Jones way down at like 15 or 16 and he's going top 5, which is inevitably why guys like, you know, guys that I got in the second round got pushed down to me.
Well, we said that Ronald Jones gonna push some talent down to us and it did. Like the player I got at 11, I'm extremely ecstatic about. Right. I made a prediction this week. I'll talk about it when we get to the pick. It was yesterday, but. So Ronald Jones goes here. This is where we're going to see him go, anywhere from here to pick
8,
11.
9, 10, 11.
Probably a little bit less than that. Really surprised he went over Nick Chubb, personally.
I'm very surprised also, yeah. But obviously, you know, the person that picked him, the rationale is he's going to be the starting running back there. So he's going to have a guy that's at least he's going to be able to find out right away whether or not the guy stinks or he's going to be good.
Have fun with that. Next pick,
right?
DJ Moore. So things are still. I mean, most of these are going to look pretty much the same.
Yeah, yeah. No, and for Fox, who picked here, I was surprised because he has little to no running backs at all. I mean, all his running backs were guys that I traded him last year that were
Curtis Ferguson.
They're old. No, they're just old. I mean, it was like Frank Gore and somebody else. I can't even remember.
Well, good for him taking best player.
He did. Yeah, he went best player available. I thought he was going to go Kerryon Johnson or Nick Chubb, but he went DJ Moore.
Yeah, which is best. I like the pick there, like for him. So he comes away with Corey Davis last year, comes away with DJ Moore this year, already has Alshon, already has Cooper Kupp, I believe.
No, I don't think he has Cooper Kupp, but...
okay, but still, I mean, a nice young receiving core.
He's building a nice receiver.
If you're going to rebuild. So, and again, we were preaching this before because people, you know, somebody we know, they need a receiver to compete, but they know they can't draft a receiver to help them win right away.
Mm-hmm.
So... if you're going to rebuild, I love the process of the rebuild of trying to get the best young talent at receiver. No one's going to be a process because we say go best player available here, and it was DJ Moore. But at the same time, if he missed there, and he did, like, he already had that base of Corey Davis, DJ Moore, and say he, just for shits and giggles, Alshon or in Cooper Kupp, and then he waited. You know, now he's 3 years in on Corey Davis. And then now you could grab those running backs and start playing them right away.
No, I like the strategy, and I don't necessarily think that DJ Moore was the best player. I think he's the best player if you're rebuilding, exactly like you were just saying. Like, he's a guy, like, you don't – I mean, a Nick Chubb, what's he going to really help you do this year?
Nothing.
On this person's particular team who was – it got old and it got devoid of talent, and he does need to build it exactly how you're saying. He's got to get a nice base. He's got to get like probably a young quarterback or something like that in here as well, and then have all these guys come together the year that you're starting to get young running backs is probably 2 years away, you know?
Yeah, which is perfect.
Right.
Again, plug and play.
He's building it the right way. Yeah.
I mean, just out of this draft alone, if you needed just one running back help, we mentioned this before, you can come away out of this group with a guy like Kellen Ballage, Nyheim Hines, later in the draft to plug and play. So it's a good strategy. I like the building core. I like the Corey Davis. I like the DJ Moore foundation and go with Alshon, where Alshon then be older, but hopefully still serviceable by the time he's ready to compete here in about hopefully 2 years.
Right.
Right around there. And if he does, the key reasons will be DJ Moore and Corey Davis.
And worst case scenario is he can always move Alshon for more picks, you know, in the next year or two if it's not developing the way he thinks.
Assets.
Yep.
Love them.
Right.
That's why you take best player available.
Yep. You know? Absolutely.
So next pick went Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb. Yeah.
Pretty solid. I mean, getting Nick Chubb there is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I totally agree, man.
Little patience needed there. Going to need a Carlos Hyde injury, or if not, worst case, he's going to be the man next year. Then it went Royce Freeman.
Yep. Can't you know, you can't really knock that pick. It's late in the first round, and you're getting a guy that's at least going to get a shot at the job there in Denver. So
with three down capabilities.
Absolutely. Yep.
Then it went Calvin Ridley.
Yep. So this is a lot of people's second wide receiver ranked. You know, he's my second wide receiver. My first wide receiver was still sitting there. So, I mean, for me, I would have gone a different direction. But I can't really fault anyone for taking Calvin Ridley, you know, at this point in the draft.
No. So then the next pick is Mike's back on the clock again. And he said, he's like, most people are not going to like this pick, but I don't care. I'm taking my guy.
Right.
And he took Christian Kirk. I don't like the pick at all here.
I don't like the pick either, but kudos to him for taking his guy and because I mean, literally, I mean, if you have a connection to somebody, this is what makes dynasty. You know, you develop kind of connections. You like a guy, you pick him maybe a couple picks early, but if he pans out, it's like you feel like you won the lottery. You know what I mean?
And we said that too. We said always take your guy. Don't be afraid to take your guy. The only thing here's what I was thinking on that. The reason I didn't like that is because he did have the 12th pick too.
Right.
So
he could have taken him there.
And you never know, but he listens to the podcast. Right. So he should have known that I wasn't going to take him here.
Right.
He should have known to come down to Cortland Sutton or Kerryon Johnson. And for me, that's what I made a move. Cause I don't think it would have changed his board too much, but he could have got a really good running back there and still got Christian Kirk and Kerryon Johnson. So instead he comes back receiver, which again, he's in rebuild mode. The reason he traded Julio Jones, so if he believes in Christian Kirk, which a lot of people do, and he believes in Cortland Sutton, he's coming away with Sony Michel, Kerryon Johnson, O.J. Howard, Christian Kirk, and Cortland Sutton
First round. Not a bad first round haul, to be honest.
Not a bad first round haul.
And he got a second round pick also in there.
So it puts me in the clock at 11. Now, I said the whole time I was trying to trade up here at 11 to get – originally I want to get Baker. I just moved up too high.
Right.
So I was like, I'm just taking best player available. So to me, it really came down to Cortland Sutton and Kerryon Johnson. And I had a couple trade offers on there. I think somebody offered me 2-4, 2-12, and 3-4. And I figured at 3, you know, I was like, I could use one of those quarterbacks. The whole reason I tried to move up originally was for a quarterback. And I'm sitting there thinking, but you know, at the same time, I give up a first and second next year. Like, I'm not giving up a first and second next year for 2 seconds and a third. That was a deal breaker for me before I already gave up.
Right.
So I went ahead and selected. So I could use a receiver. That was my biggest, I would say, need-wise. I said my running backs are, my main three are Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon, and Leonard Fournette.
Like you could say that's a strength of your team right now.
I'm very strong there. And right. I can use a solid vet, good receiver, or a young guy. I'm young with Jarvis Landry. I'm young with Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. So I figured, you know, Courtland Sutton, that I was really wrestling. I was like, I take Courtland Sutton. He's my top rated receiver here. I can use him. I can sit on him for a couple of years by the time Golden Tate's ready to get out of there, and I'll be okay. But the more I thought about it, I tweeted out yesterday that lately I've been thinking about this. I almost tweeted this out a couple of days ago, but it's been on my mind a lot, like this week. I don't know why, but I've been going back and forth with these guys. But I think my prediction was, I think Kerryon Johnson, long-term, fantasy points in PPR leagues, will have a better fantasy career than Darius Geis. I tweeted that out over 24 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost tweeted out the day before, and I was like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't tweet that out. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to look foolish. And I thought about it again. I was like, you know what? I feel so strong about this, I have to tweet out to all 9,000 of my followers. They have to see this, all right? They got to see where I'm feeling on here. And what's the point of me having Twitter? The whole point of us doing this and having Twitter and doing stuff like this is to give our opinion. And sometimes we give opinions that are against the grain, and that's my opinion, where I like Kerryon Johnson today over Darius Geis as a fantasy running back.
It's not the worst, take I've heard, you know what I mean? He definitely has the potential. He's a three down type of back as well, which obviously some people argue Darius Geis can't do it. Some people can say he can. I'm in the he can do it, but he's just not going to get the opportunity right now.
Yeah,
that's where I land. You know what I mean? So,
and every year for a running back, every year counts. Right. Like every year counts if you score in fantasy points as a long term career. Every year counts. So right. If Kerryon comes in right away and he's getting these PPR points and he gets a 50-point lead on him, that's a big lead to overcome. So I went and selected Kerryon Johnson. Even though I had those running backs, I could use a young receiver. One, a young receiver's not helping me this year anyways. Two, now this puts me in position. The way I look at it is like, okay, I could flip. I don't look at it as, okay, I'm going to flip Kerryon Johnson for a receiver.
No, now
this
you
now
can flip
puts
one
me
of the
in position
guys.
To right. Trade a guy like Leonard Fournette. So I'm riding Le'Veon. I can ride Melvin Gordon. I understand nobody's going to trade me as much for Melvin Gordon. Right? Nobody's going to give me as much. But I can get heat for Leonard Fournette. At least I could try to. So now that I have Kerryon Johnson, I can even wait till the season starts. If he just produces just a little bit how I think he's going to produce, it puts me in a position now to, again, I mentioned this before, a strategy why you take best player available for returns is because now I could take, now I'm overloaded at running back. Now I could take one of these really good running backs and then flip it for a position of need for a player that can help me right away that I know is proven that is good.
Absolutely.
The good players will always help you down the road. Again, that's why you don't reach. That's why you don't take players to fill holes, because you use the player that you take that's a better player to fill that hole that you need by trading for a proven asset. Why take risk when you can get something that's proven? Same thing when we say for a rookie pick. If somebody came up here and said, hey, Rich, I'll give you player X for 111 and this for this receiver, I'd say okay in a heartbeat.
Yep.
So that's where you got to make draft picks come into the benefit of you. You know, it's not always going to help your team right that second, but this is a long-term play. So what can I do to put myself in the best position to win long-term? Taking the best player available always puts you in position long-term for success. One, you have a higher chance of hitting because it's already hard enough to hit these guys. Doesn't matter how good they look. You know, I just so happened I went through our last 5 years of rookie drafts. I was looking at them through the boards and just looking at them, you go, ugh. Oh, look at that pick. Oh, look at this guy going here. Third right. round. I got Stephon Diggs in the third round. Look, what a crime to humanity. So always, again, it's a huge point we have to push across is you always want to take the best player available. And then if there's a tier there, you know, where it's like you have one guy at 13 and one guy at 15 and he's a position of need, then you go. But right. you're talking about little reaches, not major reaches. Next pick on the board then goes Courtland Sutton to Mike.
So, yeah, that's the last pick in the first round, Courtland Sutton.
And I figured that's the way it was going to go.
Right.
So it went, you know, Barkley, Michelle, Penny, Geis, Jones, Moore, Chubb, Freeman, Ridley, Kirk, Johnson, Sutton. Biggest reach for you here in this round?
Biggest reach is, I mean, it's going to be the Ronald Jones was for both of us.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
I agree wholeheartedly. It's just, to me, at five, if he hits, even he needs it now. For when you take Ronald Jones here, the reason it's such a reach is because he has to be really good here for who you took ahead of him.
He's got to be. He's got to be superstar status. You know what I mean? He's got to be a running back one, you know, right away.
Yeah, because of the receivers, you took him over every single receiver. and you took him over guys that have just as much, like I said.
Chubb, Royce Freeman, and Kerryon Johnson. So, I mean, he's got to be good.
He's got to be good. So, big reach. So, yeah. Here we go. Top of the pick in the second round.
Yeah, second pick in the first round.
First pick in the second round.
I mean, wait, what did I say?
Second pick in the second round.
Oh, all right. First pick in the second round. Sorry, it's been a long morning.
It has been.
Dante Pettis.
Oh!
As a guy that was sitting there at number three in the second round, I was overjoyed by this pick. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, like, dude, I went from six to midnight.
I could not have been happier. I'm just sitting there. I've got a huge hole at tight end, right? I mean, Hunter Henry was my guy this year, and he just got injured, blows out his knee, and I'm just sitting here sweating it out at number three, just hoping my guy falls to me, and boom, Dante Pettis goes. Big sigh of relief. I'm starting to get a little bit excited. I think I might actually get my guy. You know what I mean? And then very next pick, Mike with the second pick in the second round. Now I'm really sweating it because this dude needs a tight end. You know what I mean?
Just traded for O.J. Howard.
Traded for O.J. Howard.
So
I'm
a little
like,
bit of like, okay.
So I'm like, okay, maybe I'm still gonna get my guy. He's like, all right. I'm not sure anyone's gonna like this pick either. So this is the second time he's breaking it out. I'm not sure anyone's gonna agree with this pick. So now I'm like starting to get pumped. I'm like, all right, cool. He's going weird again. And sure enough, Hayden Hurst goes second in the second round.
Back to back wild picks.
Back to back. Like, holy crap. I just got bumped up to the first pick in the second round with both those picks being taken ahead of me. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. Like, I'm picking first in the second round. Yeah. And with some of these other picks, I feel like I actually somehow snuck into the back end of the first round. So, I mean, it takes me all of about a half a second for me to throw in my Mike Gesicki pick.
Getting Gesicki here at 2-3 is stealing.
It was stealing. I mean, with the hole I had at tight end and the talent that's there, like it was just like a perfect marriage. It was a no-brainer for me at all.
You lucked out, man.
I totally lucked out.
We go back to the first pick in the second round, Dante Pettis.
Yeah, sure.
The first pick in the second round with all these guys here. That was picked by Danny. I got to bust out the crystal balls here real quick. Hold on.
Bust out your crystal balls, sir.
Due to this pick, I'd like to see, with his mental stability, where will Dan be in 15 years, crystal balls? Where will he be? Oh, well, yeah. Just as I thought it would be. That's a mental asylum. I see a mental asylum.
A mental asylum in Danny's future?
Yeah. It's pretty clear.
Is it all because of this pick?
It was the catalyst.
Oh my gosh!
It was the start of it all. it's when you first realized that the crazy was real. You know, before you're like, hey, it's potentially there, and now it's there.
Right.
To me, what a reach, man! Like, again, this falls into the people that they fall. Again, we don't know if Dante Pettis is going to be good.
No, we
don't. With in Kyle Shanahan's offense, which is a nice, good offense for a number one receiver, but you have that fast receiver there in Marquise Goodwin.
Right.
You know, so even when you offset him with a Dante Pettis, I mean, who we think they use for more kick returns here, it's still kind of a reach, man. It's a reach, but not just a little reach for us, at least. This is our own, obviously his rankings suffices, but for us, this is like a major reach.
This is
like you got to be Stretch Armstrong to even touch it.
This is a major reach, and we said it when we were going over this kind of stuff, that we knew somebody was going to reach for Dante Pettis due to where he was drafted in the NFL draft.
And Hayden Hurst.
And Hayden Hurst as well. I just wasn't sure it was going to be that early.
Ugh.
Like, holy cow, man. So yeah. second pick.
He's like,
or first pick
on
in
the
second
field,
round.
Play ball.
Yeah, no doubt, man. It was very just shocking, and as a person that drafted, you know, a couple picks behind him, couldn't have been happier.
Yeah, you lucked out there. So I actually liked all these picks here that really started to come through, and I was looking at so the next pick was available. So if I would have made that trade for Kerryon Johnson, where I took 2-4, 2-12, and 3-4, I would have, in hindsight, I could have got, you know, their next pick was Anthony Miller.
Right. You could have. So, yeah, after the Dante Pettis, Hayden Hurst, Mike Gesicki, Anthony Miller was the next pick. Fourth
so
round.
I would have
fourth
taken,
pick.
I was thinking, I was like, well, I could use a receiver. You know, I wanted Baker. Maybe I can get Baker at 2-12. I was like, probably not, but at least I can get a quarterback or something. I was like, but I could take Anthony Miller here, who I took in the first round of our mock draft this year, just a couple weeks ago.
Right.
So he takes Anthony Miller. Actually, he trades the pick to somebody else for 2 second-round picks to Mike. Tommy trades it to Mike. He selects Anthony Miller. Very solid pick here. Again, we're taking him ahead of
Dante. This is Hurricane Mike, not the other Mike that has a bunch of picks.
Yes, Hurricane Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes Anthony Miller. You like the pick?
I love the pick, yeah. I mean, I was obviously picked right before him, and I have another pick at 2.6, and I was hoping, you know, Anthony Miller would be there, but he didn't make it. So I love Anthony Miller there. That's so, definitely who I would have taken at 2.6 if he was available.
So then the Mike who has a lot of picks is on the clock. He takes another tight end. After he takes Hayden Hurst, he takes and trades for O.J. Howard. He takes Dallas Goedert.
Yep.
Again, to me, not a this is why I don't think it's a good pick, right? Not only Dallas Goedert still is my number one tight end to come into it, but you just traded for O.J. Howard. You just drafted Hayden Hurst. You're a team that traded away Julio Jones, so you have a lot of needs. I understand you just took Christian Kirk. I understand you took Courtland Sutton, but to me, the pick has got to be James Washington or Michael Gallup here. You don't take the X amount of tight end, who's also a backup tight end right now to Zach Ertz, when you get a guy like Michael Gallup who could contribute right away to your team and possibly long-term, and James Washington, a young receiver. Again, we mentioned before, if he could have hit on Christian Kirk, Courtland Sutton, and comes back here with a James Washington, Michael Gallup, and then they hit 2 years from now, he's set.
Right.
He's set with 3 good young receivers to go with the X amount of tight ends he already has and the running backs he has, which he has Alvin Kamara, David Johnson, and he took Sony Michel there too. To me, it's his guy, but now you just drafted your 3rd tight end of the day, right?
Right.
Instead of taking your 3rd receiver in the tight end. It doesn't make sense. I understand this comes to me where it's like, dude, I need a tight end. I'm just going to draft a whole bunch of them to fill this need. And to me, that's kind of doing it wrong, personally.
Yeah, I got you. So I'm on the clock next. And you had this grin on your face like you knew who I was going to take. And I'll give you the reason why I didn't take DJ Chark here.
Yeah, which is, it blows my mind. Matt,
which was
the
totally...
The guy who's been yelling on this podcast for 5 months now that he loves DJ Chark... I thought, you know, we're talking about a reach. I thought you'd reach around for DJ Chark. That's how much I thought you loved him.
I do love him. I thought I can get him later. So that was my strategy. Do you understand? I've got rankings and I've got a draft strategy.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. And sometimes they don't necessarily look exactly the same.
Okay.
So while DJ Chark was ranked just above James Washington, I did select James Washington because I know that is not the way that everyone else sees it. So I picked James Washington because they're close. They're neck and neck in my eyes.
Better pick in my eyes anyways. You won that one.
So I got James Washington, and I was going to sweat it out until the 3rd round where I picked, I think, 7th. Or no, I actually picked 6th in the 3rd round as well because I thought maybe I could get DJ Chark there. We'll see if I did. But James Washington was the 6th pick in the
great,
second round.
Great value here in the second round.
Absolutely.
Love it.
I love the value. Knew that I wouldn't be able to get James Washington in the 3rd round. Do you know what I mean? I thought there was a chance I could get DJ Chark in the 3rd round.
I'm surprised you didn't try and move up for him at that point then. I thought the love was so strong, but the love's not that strong. Here's the point.
Here's the thing.
Love's not as strong as we thought it was, people.
I do love him. I loved a lot of people in that 3rd round, or I would have moved up. So there was enough people in the 3rd round that I still liked that I was like, I think I can get him. I thought he was going to slide, to be honest, looking at what everyone else was picking and all this kind of craziness that was going on. It was just like an odd draft, and I thought he was going to fall to me.
Sometimes you can't take those gambles. Like,
spoiler alert, he didn't fall to me.
Last year,
I missed him by two picks.
I had to have Evan Ingram, so yeah. I made a move to go up and get Evan.
Sure.
I had to have him.
Right.
So you take James Washington. Kudos to you. Next pick, Eric's up, Michael Gallup, which is, again, a very,
very nice pick.
Solid pick.
Yep.
To me, that's going to look like great value down the road. Next pick.
And that was kind of like a tier to me. I think after Gallup, I mean, obviously, Chark would have been up in that same tier with me.
I would have thrown Naeem Hines in that tier.
Okay. And after that, I just think there's a slight difference in what you're expecting after, you know, Chark, and we'll throw Naeem Hines in there as well. But after that, this is where in the draft kind of has another feel
Antonio
to it.
Antonio Callaway's tipping those scales to get in that tier two for me.
Yeah, I guess
right
you're right
there. So yep. I got to put Antonio Callaway in there as well. But again, yeah, you're right. After that, it's a lot of like, I said it for me. You
I like
going the third round, but to me, it's right.
Okay.
If you take out some of these guys I didn't like, it's those first two rounds I like. Right. Where are you getting a third unless there's quarterbacks there that you like? I don't really.
All right. So let's get on Jim here a little bit.
All right. So Jim's the guy who's in the special forces, you know, a little bit out of it, enjoys it, has his list, but right. not as involved. He does a lot of things that are special. So he takes Jordan Atkins.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Don't know why. 26-year-old tight end that don't know why. Don't know why you take him. But that was the second 26-year-old tight end, basically, or 25 or 26-year-old tight end that was taken in this round.
So it's like Marbowski can't outdo me.
Yeah, I'm going to go one older. So it was a bit baffling, but another one of those things where as a guy that was waiting, like hoping a guy would slide to him, I'm jumping for joy. You know what I mean?
Next on the clock is Tommy. He had back-to-back picks. He moved up there. He let somebody draft the Anthony Miller pick. He moved back for back-to-back.
2.09 and 2.10, yep.
And he offered me – so then he offered me – he said, okay, will you take 2.10, 2.11, or is it 2.9?
2.9, 2.10.
2.9, 2.10, 2.12, and 3.4 for Kerryon Johnson. I said, if there's one player on the board there, I'll make that trade. Because remember, the whole time before, I was trying to move up for Baker Mayfield.
Right, right.
So I'm like, listen, if Michael Gallup's there, I will make that move for Baker. Because
then you could get Baker Mayfield, Michael Gallup, and somebody else there.
Exactly. And Gallup went at 11. And I had a feeling he wouldn't, but the way this draft started going, I didn't know what the hell could happen.
This was one of the wackiest drafts I remember in a while.
It was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So Michael Gallup wasn't there. And there's a part of me that's a little sad because I was like, man, if I come away with Gallup, I would have taken Baker Mayfield there. And at 12, I was hoping to get like a Nyheim Hines.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably could have got Hines there.
Or Antonio Callaway, one of the two. So I would have felt good about that for Kerryon Johnson. But I wasn't able to make the trade because Michael Gallup wasn't there. And at that point, there was nobody there I felt was worth the trade. Next pick goes Baker Mayfield, followed up by Kellen Ballage. Two solid picks. I would have taken Hines over Ballage personally, but I won't argue that with the upside there of Ballage, that pick.
Right, so Tommy had 9, 10, and 12, and he ended up getting, spoiler alert, he gets Hines at 12 anyway.
Yeah.
So the pick that's in between, Danny at 2.11 ended up with Tre'Quan Smith, which is not a bad pick either.
No.
I think, you know, a lot of Tre'Quan Smith could go anywhere from here to like the middle of the third round. I think that's kind of his range. And I think that's the top end of his range. But
he's the top of the next tier for me.
Right,
Tre'Quan.
Right,
just a good spot. Again, the only worry is long term QB. That's my only worry about Tre'Quan.
Sure,
long term QB. But there's Mike Thomas to offset. So the Baker Mayfield's the first quarterback off the board here at 2.9. Thought he was going to go a little bit higher, strictly because we live in Cleveland. Sometimes those players and hometown teams go a little bit. I was hearing rumors, like tons of people loved him. Where was he going to go? People thought I was taking him at 111. That was insane. I was never going to take him there. But I think in most drafts, Baker's clearly the first quarterback off the board.
I mean, I think so. Yeah,
he's favorite player in the NFL.
He's been my my top ranked guy for a while. So yeah.
Is Baker your favorite player in the NFL?
No.
No? That's all. No. He's mine. I don't know why. So when Baker Mayfield, Kellen Ballage, Tre'Quan Smith, and Nyheim Hines. Nyheim Hines right at the back end of the second. He's going to go anywhere from mid to late second. I think great value there at 212. A guy who's going to be a nice PPR running back. Marlon Mack, the shoulder injury, we don't know 100% about. We don't know where Hines is going to fit in there. In that
he's going to for sure have a PPR.
He's going to have some opportunity there. More so than a guy they took in the very next round, Jordan Wilkins. So second round, biggest reach.
Biggest reach for me was the first pick in the second round, Dante Pettis, followed by Hayden Hurst. I mean, the first two picks in the second round were reaches in my eyes.
So we didn't do this in the first round, so let's go back up a second. Who's the best value, you thought? Who got the best bang for their buck in the first round?
Well, for me personally, Courtland Sutton at the very last pick is the best value.
It's pretty good value. His ADP is 111, so...
But, I mean, for me personally, where I have him ranked, I have him ranked a little bit higher. So that's
no,
why
I agree. I think getting Courtland Sutton at the back end of the first is pretty good. I like my pick of Kerryon Johnson at the back end of the first, and I like Courtland Sutton. I think that's the best overall value.
So what's the best overall value in the second round for you?
Michael Gallup at 2.8, around there.
Yeah, 2.7.
Yeah, Michael Gallup at 2.7. To me, that's tremendous value. I like him where Pettis went 2.1. Obviously, if it was me, I would have went Gesicki in this order. I would have went either Anthony Miller or Gallup, and then Gallup, and then James Washington.
Yep.
What you got? That's the order I would have went in. So,
to recap the second round, 2.01, Dante Pettis, 2.02, Hayden Hurst, 2.03, Mike Gesicki, 2.04, Anthony Miller, 2.05, Dallas Goedert, 2.06, James Washington, 2.07, Michael Gallup, 2.08, Jordan Ekins, 2.09, Baker Mayfield, 2.10, Kellen Ballage, 2.11, Traquan Smith, and 2.12, Nyheim Hines. So that was our second round.
Yeah, yep. Brings up the first pick in the third round. He took Jordan Wilkins. I mentioned earlier about how to win a draft, like what you can come away with here to be very, very happy with your draft. What makes you feel strong about areas you hit.
Right.
I think he completely whiffed on this draft in a very, very bad way for having the first guy.
Right.
I know we got Traquan Smith with my pick in the second round of 2.11. But for me here, looking at, besides Saquon Barkley, he takes Dante Pettis in the first, big question mark there, first pick in the second round. Yeah. Takes Traquan Smith ahead of Nyheim Hines, which, here's the thing,
he needs running backs.
He takes Jordan Wilkins with the first pick in the third round, right? Why the hell would you just take Nyheim Hines at 2.11 or 2.10?
Right. He definitely should have. It was a bad pick.
And then you're either getting Traquan Smith, Antonio Callaway, or DJ Chark for sure. So he comes away. We were talking about before. Like, he could have came away with literally Saquon Barkley, Mike Gesicki, Nyheim Hines, and still got Antonio Callaway. That to me,
or DJ Chark. I mean, that would have been a home run.
Killed this draft. Right. He would have killed this draft. Instead, he comes away with Saquon Barkley, Dante Pettis, Traquan Smith, Jordan Wilkins.
I'm looking at a poo-poo platter.
Besides
Barkley, which is a slam dunk. You know what I mean? The rest of it's like so disappointing.
Like, wow, dude. Yeah. Again, I know, we joke about, the crystal balls, but nobody can predict the future. So nobody ever knows what's going to go on. We watch the tape, we do our study, and then we come here and give our opinion. We hang around long enough because luckily we're right more than we're wrong. So for me, though, this, like when you do those instant grades, which I agree are stupid. When you grade the NFL draft right away, it's stupid.
Right.
It is. But it's why we do this, to give our opinion and create the fodder and the talk. And to me, this is a big fat D for a draft.
I was going to say C just because Saquon Barkley is such a good pick.
You're right.
That it pulls up the rest of it so much.
But even here at Jordan, Jordan Wilkins goes off the board here. You took Dante Pettis. You could have came with, if you needed a tight end, you could come with Mark Andrews. DJ Chark or Antonio Callaway are clearly the best two players on the board here. Clearly, in my opinion. It's a no-brainer for me here. But he takes Jordan Wilkins, who's now the third running back on this roster, who has to compete with Nyheim Hines, who already has good reports coming out of him with just OTAs alone. So he's already getting these reports coming out early. It's kind of like with my pick, with Kiki Kute.
Mm-hmm.
Solid option, but already getting good reports out of Houston already, kind of like how Chad Chanson's getting his good reports.
Right.
DeAndre Hopkins coming out and saying, hey, Kiki Kute is playing pretty well here. You get reports out that, Nyheim Hines is looking good. Some of these guys are looking good. At least, again, it's something to keep aware of when you have your rookie draft this late. So he takes Jordan Wilkins. Mark Andrews is the next pick. Like the pick.
Like the pick, too, because, this was Mike with all the picks, who took Hayden Hurst in the second pick with the second pick in the second round, and now he's backing up with Mark Andrews.
And he took Dallas Goedert,
third pick in the second round
for OJ Howard.
So he's got a ton of tight ends, but at least I like stacking. I don't mind stacking Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews, just because who the heck knows? I just wouldn't have done it as early as it was done. Do you know what I mean?
I wouldn't have gotten Hurst out of the situation, but like I said, I think Andrews is more fit for the slot anyways, to be a slot receiver, so they can both get in the field. It's a double win there because you're getting Baltimore's receiver as well to offset a guy like Michael Crabtree and John Brown. And John Brown's on a one-year deal as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So they could find a role for him in the slot. I would like that a lot.
Right.
Next pick goes Antonio Callaway. Again, love the pick. I think the back-to-back picks here of DJ Chark went after him are two tremendous values.
They totally are.
Both guys that I like in the back end of the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm okay with taking DJ Chark there. Taking Chark ahead of Hines, Traquan Smith, Kellen Ballage, Jordan Ekins, clearly Dante Pettis, and Hayden Hurst. Now, I probably would take Nyheim Hines over DJ Chark just for the instant gratification of that running back. It puts you in a position like I did the same kind of player where I took Tariq Cohen last year, late in the draft. And I was able to flip him with you for a guy like Golden Tate. because you need a running back help right. and a receiver. I could take that older vet receiver. I like the same reason here with Hines. The reason I would take him is because I think he'll be in the same position where you could flip that guy for a guy higher than a guy like Chark. But Callaway goes here. Chark goes here. I think those are two best picks. I think they're both the best value. You're already going to know that DJ Chark's your best value right. here for you. And I would probably say that's correct as well.
So here's a little bit more of my reasoning why I didn't like trade up and rush up. I thought that there was a slight chance he might slide. And B, we have like basically a spreadsheet that we throw up on the TV, and I'm typing in everybody's name, and those picks came off the board pretty quick. You know what I mean? Antonio Callaway, DJ Chark, they came off the board pretty quick. I didn't have a chance to really get in any conversations with anybody on trades. So,
and who knows? I mean, that's somebody you might be able to trade with post draft.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because right. he's not helping him out right away. And like we said, with the slow start and the likely less opportunities they have this year, mm-hmm. this is a player that you love that you could probably attack mid season to the end of the year, and it won't. And the name, you know,
his value won't blow up.
And,
yeah.
and right his now, you have a much right. easier chance to get him because he did take him in the third round. So I could see you going at him with where he did go here in like early third, but the fourth pick in the third round. There's no reason I can't believe you can give him somebody like look what his major need is.
Right.
Look where you can add to that. Just a player you don't like anyways and your second round pick next year. One, he could look like, hey, I just bumped a round up for this guy.
Sure.
Two, I'm getting a player as well. So a guy that you gave first round value to, now you're getting for
a second round and a player
and a guy
that
you
I
don't even really care about.
The guy that I don't love. Right.
Next pick is Jamon Moore.
So, yeah, the fifth pick in the third round, Jamon Moore.
So, now this is the guy with the Saquon pick. So, I will give him a bump here, too, because I like this pick for him. You know, everybody's talking about Equanimeous St. Brown and all the receivers that they drafted. But remember, we always got to remember Jamon Moore was the first player off their board at receiver.
Right.
So, to me, you know, they like him more than others. So maybe we'll get a little bit more of a chance. Somebody's going to have to come out there and be the number two after Randall Cobb leaves for Davante Adams. This is the guy who might be there long term. I like to pick here. I think it's good value.
It definitely is. And then I was actually originally on the clock here at 3.06, and I did get a little bit of trade offers thrown my way while I was on the clock. Luckily, I had back to back picks, so I was like kind of taking it easy and fielding some stuff. But I ended up trading the pick 3.06, and I ended up getting Trent Taylor and the guys next year's third round pick. So I thought that was decent value for this pick because I was really looking at two guys anyway, and I knew that one of them I would get, and I have another pick later on in the draft in this same round also. So it was one of those things where three third rounders is probably a little excessive, unnecessary. So I traded one and pushed it off till next year basically and got a player.
So he trades up, Eric trades up, and he takes Sam Darnold here.
Who I wasn't going to take, which I have Darnold a little bit lower on my board than most people. So I was able to basically trade out of that pick and still get the same guy with my next pick that I would have picked.
We started the run, then you take Josh Rosen.
I took Josh Rosen at 3.7.
And yep. then goes Equanimeous St. Brown, and then it goes again back-to-back quarterbacks with Lamar Jackson and then Josh Allen.
Then I took Josh Allen, yep, at 3.10.
So, and I picked right after this, and I was devastated because I want like the whole reason I have Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill, and Drew Brees. So right. those are my quarterbacks. So I needed a young quarterback. And I knew at 3.11 that it was going to be hard for me to get one. But I did think the whole time, I was like, well, I could probably get Josh Allen at least. That's what I thought. And sure enough, you took Josh Allen right before me. And I was a little sad.
I honestly didn't do that like because I knew you were picking. I didn't even pay attention that you were picking next. And that was my highest rated guy. I wanted a share of Josh Allen. I knew I didn't get him somewhere else. So I figured, why not double up, get both Josh's, and move on with my day.
And it puts me against me, Kiki Kute.
Right.
Totally happy with the pick here. Late in the third, I think it's pretty good value. We hear that the number good reports coming out of Houston already on him and his work ethic. DeAndre Hopkins is really impressed with him early. Again, it's all early, so a lot of the news is just kind of
I mean, it's not like Braxton fluff. Miller is established there as the slot guy. I think Kiki Kute definitely has an opportunity in front of him right now nail that down.
I'm looking at, upside here. You know, if he could, with Sean Watson, his deep ability with the ball, I think this is a good gamble here in the late third round. Because honestly, for me, it came down to either him or like Deshaun Hamilton. That's who I was kind of debating between.
Yeah, and Hamilton wouldn't have been a big pick or a bad pick either. But obviously, with the early reports coming out in the positive for Kuti, that's a nice pick.
It was reports, and it was a long-term play at quarterback that I was looking at.
Right, right.
That I had that solid, I had that locked up there. We don't know about Case Keenum, how he's going to be in 2 years, 3 years down the road, or how that's all going to transition in Denver as it is. So that's why I went with Kiki Kuti. Very next pick went Mark Walton.
Right.
I think we already mentioned, so this is pretty clearly, I think, the best pick is DJ Chark.
Yeah, the fourth pick in the third round for me is definitely the most value, DJ
and
Chark.
To me, the biggest reach is Jordan Wilkins. First pick in the third round. There. So, yep. I mean, Dan's hitting a lot of awards. They're just that it's the poop award.
Yeah, it's not the one that you want.
No, nobody wants the poop award.
All right, so let's fly through this fourth round here a little bit.
Fourth round, let's go through. It went Mason Rudolph, Deshaun Hamilton, Dalton Schultz, Deion Kane, John Kelly, Ian Thomas, Chase Edmonds, Josh Adams, Braxton Berrios, Ito Smith, Justin Watson, Jalen Samuels. You come away with Dalton Schultz?
Yeah, so basically, with my tight end situation being in flux, and I had the other two candidates basically for the Dallas Cowboys starting tight end, I just wanted to nail it down, and with the third pick in the fourth round, I figured might as well throw the dart there and pick Dalton Schultz just in case he's the guy that comes out of that with the starting job. Who knows?
You can gamble here in the fourth round. A lot of poops on the board.
Exactly.
And you just got to wipe off and see what
this is where it fell apart for me. You know, this is where this draft, the fourth round is kind of like, whatever.
And you'll hear a lot of people like, oh, good upside here. Listen, it's a lot of hot garbage.
Yeah.
And if I had to gamble anything, I would say everybody here, we're going to talk about that. We call off in the fourth round down. Maybe two of these guys are going to be even active roster guys down the road. I'm telling you, this is going to be washed out city.
There's going to be a lot of washed out. I do like a few of these. I mean, Braxton Berrios is a nice little stash there going to New England. So,
I mean,
the slot guy.
Ito Smith.
I got Ito Smith late.
Tevin Coleman leaves, that might be a nice commodity to have.
And I have Devontae Freeman. So I used the fourth round to kind of marry up some stuff in my roster because I picked guys that I liked, but they also kind of filled a either backup role or just kind of like a safety net role for me.
Yeah, I was looking at receiver here, so I just took Justin Watson.
High upside,
big receiver. Got to compete with Chris Godwin, who's already saying, hey, he deserves a start. But, when they say something like that, what it tells me is if Watson can show enough,
he could have a shot to start. Yeah.
And Deshaun Jackson, I'm looking for Deshaun Jackson possibly to get cut.
Oh, Deshaun Jackson. I mean, even if he's not going to get cut this year at final cuts, this is going to be his last
next year.
This is going to be his last year in Tampa, yeah.
So going into the fifth round, I went Cedric Wilson, Jordan Lasley, Troy Fumagalli, Justin Jackson, Bo Scarborough, Rock Thomas, Jaleel Scott, Richie James, Darius Fountain, Boston Scott, Trey Quinn, Chris Hernan.
Herndon, yep.
So good reports coming out of Herndon early,
yep.
Tight end.
That was my last pick there in the fifth round.
And surprisingly here, the only picks I are the last four picks. I like Fountain.
I was salty because I had the 10th pick and the 12th pick, and Fountain went right before I went. He was definitely going to be my pick there.
Yeah, I thought Darius Fountain has nice upside there.
Yeah, he definitely does. It's a nice landing spot. And
Boston Scott might have some ability to show potentially early with the Mark Ingram suspension.
Well, that's why I have Ingram. So this was another safety net type of pick. I like the player, but it just makes sense to me as well to have that guy, just in case, Ingram suspension is for four games and I need somebody for those first 4 weeks. Who knows what the fantasy season will bring,
I took Trey Quinn. This is a guy that we liked a lot coming out of SMU. Goes to the Redskins. And he's somebody who we liked, who's Mr. Relevant in NFL draft, and we were kind of surprised by. And here we are, already OTAs, reports coming out. Trey Quinn looking really good in the slot out there.
So I had 10 and 12, so I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to get Darius Fountain and maybe Trey Quinn. And really, I got scooped on both of those guys. Darius Fountain went right before me, so I picked Boston Scott thinking I can get Trey Quinn still at 12, and then you pick Trey Quinn at 11, and I get Chris Herndon. So I
but
got
not bad for you. Both, no, I both I like potential players.
Right, I like both the guys I ended up getting, but I wanted both of the other guys that I didn't get. I should have just taken Trey Quinn there at 10. But
you definitely should have.
But Boston Scott, I needed it for what I already said, like a little safety net type of thing.
Follows up with Trenton Cannon, Daniel Carlson, Akram Wadley, Alan Lazard, Jason Sanders, Philip Lindsay, Marquez Valdez Scantlin, Darrell Williams, Simi Cobb,
Tyler Conklin, Kyle Laletta, and Marcel Aitman.
Yeah, so in that round,
that was the sixth round.
I had a second from last pick in the last round of the sixth draft. I took Kyle Laletta because I just want to come out of this draft with a quarterback.
Right. That no, yeah, absolutely.
Because the whole time I missed quarterbacks, I was depressed the whole time. I was like, I'm going to come out of this draft with a quarterback.
It's not horrible, you know what I mean? Like, he could be a guy that in 2 years is a guy. You know what I mean?
That's how I saw it.
Yeah, with the second to last pick in the draft, that's a pretty solid pick because that way you don't have to roster him. You know, you don't have to put him on your active roster and worry about having to hold up open a spot. You can wait 2 years and see if he gets any sort of action, some Jimmy G type of hype or anything like that, and then you throw him on your active roster in year three and see what happens.
Yeah, then you have Wadley out of Iowa go there. I thought that was a nice, you know.
Akram Wadley, yeah, that wasn't a bad pick. For the third pick in the sixth round.
Small little guy, but you know, very good athlete, very explosive.
Yeah, he's one of those change of direction type of guys.
It never hurts to take those kind of running backs at the back end of their draft because they could come in there and surprise. So.
Right, right.
That's it for this show. Yeah, little last week you'll hear Matt. You won't hear Matt now for 2 weeks.
Oh man, what are you guys gonna do?
Listen to me talk by myself.
Just crystal balls.
So I mean, instead of us not putting out an episode because we're going on vacation, I'll just record one. I'll figure a topic out like I can just rant about for about 30 minutes, and that'd be it.
Cool.
This is vacation season, man. Sorry.
Yeah, it happens, man. You
know? Then we'll get back into it. Maybe we'll do our rookie mock draft round 3 and 4.
Or maybe we'll come up with some fresh topic while we're on vacation.
Because now we did this rookie mock draft here. It's kind of like you heard a lot of players. You heard our kind of analysis on it.
Right.
Maybe we shouldn't just beat a dead horse.
No.
You know?
Yeah, we'll figure something else out.
And we'll be all tan when we come back.
We're definitely going to be tan.
Make sure you check out DynastyNerds.com. Make sure you hit me up on Twitter at DynastyRich.
I'm at DynastyMatt.
Follow the site at DynastyNerds. Make sure you join our Facebook group chat. We got thousands of polls going on there, hundreds of questions, all kinds of fun.
Yeah,
make
dude,
new
it's,
friends.
It's a great place to get opinions and stuff like that.
People always ask me, like, how do I join the Dynasty group chat? You just go to DynastyNerds.com, click group chat, click join. Just a Facebook account, I think.
All right.
I don't know. It's pretty fantastic. You can buy a Dynasty Nerds t-shirt by going to our website as well, by hit click shop. Be the most comfortable t-shirt you ever wear. Be like me tonight walking through the Dave Matthews concert, just getting high fives left and right.
Boom, boom,
like,
boom.
You're
boom.
Rich Dotson. Like, how do you know that? Like, it says it on your name tag. Like, oh, forgot that was there, buddy. So that's it, right? Did I miss anything?
No, I don't think you missed a thing.
All right, guys. Well, hope you guys all have a good week. Our weekend starts now. Talk to you soon.
Hasta luego.
Thanks for listening to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. Make sure to check us out at DynastyNerds.com for up-to-date Dynasty insight. And follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Nerds.